Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Junkies back with you on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies, looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. We thank you for tuning in this Wednesday morning, August 13th, 2025. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop.
What's going on? Good morning.
What's up, Bish Bucks? And so, Eric Fickle's here.
Hello, how are you?
Cakes, of course, in Kiawah Island. I saw him do his annual picture where he just takes a picture of his water shoes, which I guess now he's wearing Crocs.
Mm-hmm.
Looked like he moved a little closer to the ocean. You know how you usually be about 100 yards away from the ocean?
I don't know. I don't keep track of him that much.
I saw the pictures on Twitter.
I saw that he's wearing Crocs instead of water shoes, but I don't have his coordinates.
How close he is to the water. I just know that typically he was so far away, and we would be like, "What are you doing?"
Well, it's because you finally moved a little closer. If you've been to Key, which I think you have, right?
I have not.
It's just a big beach, and you know, unless you're planning on frolicking in the water a lot, he just plops it down halfway there.
Yeah. Gets on the beach and plops everything down.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty, there's not a lot of people there.
But it doesn't look like many people.
Yeah, there's not many people. It's a
don't
nice
the kids
island.
Go in the water?
I'm sure they do at some point. But you know, he doesn't need to just get all the way up to the shore and feel his toesies in the water.
Yeah. So I was looking at the Washington Post this morning, and maybe this article came out yesterday, but there's an article about Cousy, former Capitals star, playing in a beer league with just a bunch of like software engineers and everything.
You can't get it out of your system.
Now, he maybe just showed up to the Capitals Iceplex and wanted to get a workout, but it's pretty interesting. And I can't remember who told me, but just recently, somebody told me that Gio Gonzalez, who of course won a World Series here, was playing in a co-ed softball league in, I want to say, North Carolina or South Carolina.
Yeah. I mean, it's totally believable. They get bored. You want to play. They love it. Love the game.
I guess so. What do you do once you're done? You keep playing.
Just play. Just like no different than anybody else. Just playing in some men's league somewhere.
Yeah, we had a ringer on our soccer team. Sadly, he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Who had played with DC United. He would play with the big team at times and kind of go back and forth. I don't know what they had, whatever they called it. But he came out to one of our Junkies appearances, and at the time we had a co-ed team. And we were looking to add women because we didn't have many girls on the team. And he introduced us to his friend, and she joined the team. And then afterwards, he's like, I wouldn't mind playing with you guys. And he was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was great. Oh. My son, in the lacrosse community, they have a few summer tournaments for people because, lacrosse, like once your career's over at whatever level it is, it's over. I mean, in Long Island and some places, they have some men's leagues, but, it's not as popular maybe as other stuff, right? But they have a few summer tournaments that the community goes to, all the way up to guys in their 50s, right? They just go and they play in the 50 and over, 40 and over. Guys have heart attacks. They have ambulances. But young guys go, too. And a bunch of the Marist guys, they've been doing it for years. They did it again this year. And it's funny how you if you're not playing every day, you do lose it. And they were paired up, even though they were played in the B division for fun, with a bunch of kids from current players from Ohio State, Towson, and I can't remember what the other one was. And Steven was like, I mean, we had no shot. We got smoked.
Yeah, I can't remember.
And they're like 1 and 2 years removed from playing at the highest level, and it's just different.
I can't remember who told me about this Gio Gonzalez deal, but they were saying that, so Gonzalez is just having fun playing on this co-ed softball team. And apparently it got a little more serious where somebody wanted to move them to like a high speed pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, nah, not interested. Mm-hmm. He just wanted to hang.
Mm-hmm.
He was a super nice guy.
The Koozie Beer League he was playing, was this local or was this over in Russia?
Yeah, it was at the Iceplex.
Oh, it was?
Right there. We'll probably be there in a couple weeks. I saw Spencer Carberry was on the Jumbotron for the Nationals game.
Right.
So, I mean, we're going to be there before you know it. That season's about to start.
Dude, I was at the range the other day. There was an event going on. And there was some, you could see like, actually, I saw Alan May, but you know how, like JP would go up to Alan May and say hello. I saw him on a 10th tee. He was convincing with some people. And I'm like, I don't need to say hello to Alan. He's a great guy. There's no reason. So I just walked by him.
It's in the middle of a round, too. That's a little tough.
It was a social thing. Trust me. It was an outing. Okay, and they're smoking a joke, and they're picking up hot dogs. It was a very easy situation for me to go say hello, but my personality is I'm probably not going to say hello. So I just went to the range, and so there were some hockey guys around, and the event was going on. I was waiting for them to be done so the members could go out and play. And I'm hitting balls, and there's a guy just pounding balls, bald-headed guy, just pounding balls. And I'm looking at him, and I'm going, finally it dawns on me, I go, I think that's Spencer Carberry. I think he's pounding balls.
Right.
I was wrong. It wasn't Spencer Carberry.
Luckily, you didn't say, what's up, coach?
I was wrong. It wasn't.
Why? Did you ask somebody?
No, eventually I got a good up close and personal look at him.
Yeah.
But he was just like perfectly coiffed, bald head.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like just perfect. He was jacked and he was smoking balls. And I'd seen all these other hockey guys. I thought, Carbs is just over here just smoking balls out there. Thank God. I'm kind of a quiet guy like that. I'm not going to go up and say hello because I would have said, hey, coach,
right.
And it would have been embarrassing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been tough.
Well, once you saw his face, you probably would have realized.
Because
you saw him from a distance.
I saw him from a distance. He was probably 20 feet away.
Yeah.
He was probably a guy, too. Like, everybody's wearing their sunglasses now and hats.
Well, his back was to me, but he was just, what most impressed me was, A, he was jacked, so he's probably on Drabby's TRT, and two, his bald head was so nicely manicured that I could only think of Carbs. Just it was glistening in this. It was just perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, so I saw online a picture of him at, actually the Nationals are playing in Kansas City, right?
They're in Kansas City, correct.
I don't know. Maybe it was an old picture that it was at a Nationals game. Man, the Nationals, 25 games under 500. Remember when they started to tank a little bit, and you were like, man, they were just 2-3 games under 500.
Oh, yeah.
25 games under 500.
I'll never forget. That's why I couldn't believe that the bottom fell out like that. But then they traded, the few vets, not that any of them were great, but they traded, some of their veterans. Yeah, but whatever. They traded them, and now, those are 4 or 5 guys that they were using.
All right, but they kept Gore. They kept, like, the studs, like the ones that we were worried about them trading.
No, I wasn't worried about him trading. I was advocating for trading him because by the time he is ready, they're not going to be able to resign him.
I'm just glad James Wood finally got out of his slump. He's got 9 hits in his last 5 games.
Yeah, well, he's too good. He's already proven. You know what I mean? He's proven commodity.
So hopefully he can get up to, end the year at 275. I doubt he'll get to 280. That'll be tough, but maybe, low 30s in homers.
Right.
Still a great year.
Right.
I mean, most guys go through slumps. Now, maybe it's not that long. I mean, it was a long slump for him, but he's clearly out of it now.
Andrew Golden wrote an article in the Post about his slump and what they did to shift things. And I don't, probably coincidence in reality, but Miguel Cairo moved him to the leadoff position.
Yes, he did.
All right. I'm sure that helps.
Shake it up.
That helps a little bit.
Yeah. So, in 25 games, he was 11 for 94, batting 117. It's 43 strikeouts.
In theory, it's harder to pitch around to your leadoff guy, right? Because you don't want to just be too crazy. You don't want to put him on base being silly, right? So you got to maybe see a few more pitches or something. I don't know.
He said he started chasing pitches a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just think it was just a
slump.
Yeah. I mean, could be for a million reasons.
They keep showing
and when
these,
you get enough at bats and you're that good, you're going to break out of it.
They keep showing these pictures and images and articles about Matthew. Is he really, really bad? Like his injury?
I think he was passing yesterday, though.
Yeah.
His disc injury.
Well, they say missed practice again today.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that means. Aggravated disc in his back. I thought he had maybe a shoulder thing. He had gone a long time without playing. They have like this, it seems like they have some special like truck out there for him. where he's getting his therapy. Like, that doesn't look like a great situation.
Jimmy G's the backup, Jason.
Yeah.
Your boy Jimmy G.
Jimmy G might be the guy. Might have to be his guy. Can't wait till we talk about
I mean, they keep saying that they plan on him being ready for week one. I'm not sure about that.
But,
I mean, when you don't practice for 3 weeks, that's not good.
I'm excited to talk about the Commanders' burgundy and gold scrimmage, even though it was burgundy and white. They kind of reserved the gold, obviously, for quarterbacks, so you don't hammer them. But, yeah, by all reports, sounds like the defense had the better of the O again. You know, could just be – but there's a theme. A lot of times people say that's what happens. Defense is ready to go before the offense. But they're definitely missing number 17. No doubt about that. So
– they are.
Did you look more at the video of Terry McLaurin and
I did.
Adam Peters talking?
They had lip readers, you know, everybody. And even you know,
what did the lip readers say? I didn't see that.
Well, you have people doing it, but also now, like, AI does lip reading.
Okay.
The AI literally it's wild. It's the wild, wild west. And, you know, they have something called hallucinations. That's a big problem with AI, where they just, you know, it's not perfect. And it comes up, it makes up stuff, so you never know if it's accurate. But it said, at one point, he said something like, I just want to play ball.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was they said, well, I was meaning to reach out to you. Let's talk later this afternoon.
Who said that?
I don't
That's
know
gotta
which
be
one.
Peters.
I don't know which
I
one.
I would assume Peters.
Yeah. I don't know which one.
Yeah.
But, you know, and John Kime made the point, because I listened to John's recap, obviously, of the Burgundy Gold scrimmage, as I always listen to him. And he made the point that, you know, I don't know what to make of it. It's good that they're communicating, but there's a definitive difference between the way Terry interacts with the players and the coaches and even the owner. He's all smiling. Mm-hmm. He's joking. There's definitely still tension with the front office.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean it's bad. It's good that they're talking. But he's a different Terry when he's with AP than he is with the guys.
Sure.
Which makes sense.
Until
but even the coaches and even the owner, he's joking and smiling.
Yeah.
Right? So hopefully they get it figured out. It's good that they're talking. You know, maybe, you know, got to play soon. How much longer is he going to wait?
I don't think he's going to play in the second preseason game.
Nope.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
It's coming up Monday.
I mean, he's missed 20 days of practice.
Yeah. I'm sure he's working out on his own and everything, but nothing could replicate real reps, you know, with the guys.
Just and he goes to the meetings and everything.
Yeah. I'm sure he's locked in. He prepares. But, you know, you got to be out there, and you got to get the real reps, the real adrenaline reps that you don't get when you're working with three or four guys in a high school field.
Phone number, as always, you want to get in touch with us throughout the show, is 1-800-636-1067. You can always tweet us at Junks Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back.
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chucky's come to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. A little bit later in the show, our pal Grant Paulson will join us. He was out at Commanders training camp yesterday.
Yeah, I want to know how that looked.
We scrutinized his picture, asked people to give us their captions of Terry McLaurin and Adam Peters on the sideline. Hey, I had a quick question. I generally don't care about fashion. I don't really care probably enough to change. But my wife gave me a hard time because I would just buy these ankle socks from Costco. All right, that's what I do. They're either Adidas or Nike. I'm not even sure which ones I'm wearing right now. They're Nike. Doesn't matter. But they creep up above the white shoe. Is that trifling? Now, I noticed Jason kind of has that too.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't theoretically supposed to have them not creep out? And she was like, that's a terrible look. I was like, well, I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, what are you supposed to wear? Just white socks?
I don't know. I think maybe a lot
shoes?
Of people don't wear socks.
No, there's another level. They're called no-shows.
Yeah. Yeah, but those things irritate. Like all those
what do you mean? They slip. Sometimes
yes, they slip.
All right.
And then sometimes
they can slip.
Sometimes like the Achilles area will start
but
getting.
I will say this.
Yeah.
That blisters.
That looks trifling.
Yeah.
Because you're wearing a dark with the white too. If you went at least with the white on white, it would be a better look.
Yeah. Jason's got the same thing. He's got his, I can see FootJoy over his Nikes.
But I don't care. I mean, I wore these to bed.
Yeah. Let me see.
I don't get the whole wearing to bed and then wearing the next day.
Put it this way.
Well, I mean, they were clean when I put them on. I took a shower and I put them on.
I go to the Safeway. Some people, like in where I live, some people dress up to go shopping and stuff. I go literally like I'm going to pump your gas or like, and I've been through like a hurricane. So I'll wear mismatching stuff. But if I'm like playing golf or something, I will wear no shows. Like I'm not going to, you know what I'm saying?
It depends. I guess I need to go and invest in some no shows. I think I had no shows for a long time and then they started to irritate me. And I just got to the point where it's like, I don't care. I'm just getting the socks that don't bother me that are more comfortable.
I'm far from a fashion guy. Like I try to dress nice and I play with guys that are naturally, they're like all like Ryan Seacrest. They're all like, you know, I don't know, they just know how to dress.
You pretty much only dress nice for golf.
Yeah, or if I'm going to a dinner or something. I like to dress up if I'm going to dinner or something like that. But and when I say dress up, I mean just like wear a belt. You know what I mean?
Like business casual.
Look decent.
Right.
But my friends, they're at that point where they accessorize. So they got like nice belts. Uh-huh. And they know how to do it. I thought I was wearing something nice yesterday, and it was too matchy-matchy. No one said anything to me, but I just looked in the mirror, and I went, I botched it today. It was too matchy-matchy, and I felt uncomfortable the whole day. Because at the end of the day, I don't really know how to dress. Some guys just know how to do it. I'd say, I think on the whole, Jason does a pretty good job cleaning up and dressing up well. I can do okay. I can do like a B. I get like a B grade.
But I just don't really put in the effort, you know?
I mean,
for years, to be honest, I would rely on like my mom buying me clothes. And now if Jess gets me some clothes or I get free clothes. Look, I had a compliment today from Chris, the valet. He was like, nice hoodie.
Yeah.
But this was a freebie from the Wizards.
That kid's nice. That's a nice kid.
I was at the Safeway yesterday and I was so self-conscious. And you know exactly what this is. All you guys know what this is. When you're in your community and you see people that are like prime listening age and you just know, you can just tell like sports fan probably listens to the show and they're just staring they're staring right through you. You just it doesn't happen all the time, but you see it, right? It's this guy staring right through me, right? I literally look like I fell off a dump truck. Like I look so bad.
Right.
I didn't even wear a hat. Sweating all day. Hadn't showered yet. Had a t-shirt and they didn't match my shorts. Flip-flops with socks. I mean, I look like I was like when they called the hospital on me and when I was in Florida when I was sick. And it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing sometimes.
But you shouldn't. I mean, all you're doing is walking to work.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Down
here.
The half street.
I mean, no, I was just wondering.
Yeah, I mean, I would try not to do that. If I'm going to wear dark socks, I'm probably going to have dark shoes. But I'm also, I don't really know. I try my best, but I don't really. But I think that's a no-no. I think dark socks got to go with dark shoes. I think.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think I'm
no
a little
shows,
bit of.
I think it would be okay because no one would know because they're not showing.
I think I'm a little trifling, but I'm kind of like Jason where, hey, these are the shoes or the socks that I bought at Costco. I don't know that I have dark shoes.
Right.
So just going to roll like that. Maybe I should buy some white ones.
By the way, you were talking about guys that you see at the golf course. My buddy was playing with Harris English yesterday at Caves Valley. He said Harris English is the nicest dude on the planet. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just says he's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's so smooth, too.
He's just smooth. And I think right now, currently.
I was trying to figure out who Harris English is. Most people are not going to know who Harris English is.
He's like a top 50 guy on the tour.
Right now, he's number six on the.
Yeah. So he's
on the Ryder Cup standings.
He's probably won four or five times. I might be underselling him, but you know, he's a winner on tour.
He's American.
He's a Georgia boy. He says he's just the nicest guy in the world.
Uh-huh.
I was trying to get him on the show, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
I saw Tommy Fleetwood was at the Orioles game. Did you see that, Valdez? Tommy Fleetwood was at the Orioles game. So that was cool. Yeah, the boys are in town.
They are
they're
in town.
At Caves
playing
this week.
Caves because they're playing the BMW Championship.
Now I'm geographically challenged. I mean, it's embarrassing, but I just don't really. It's not something that locks in with me. I've been to Caves probably four or five times.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, I've played it a few times. I've been there to watch the BMW 4 years or so ago. I'm geographically challenged. It's north of Baltimore, right? Yeah, it's north
Owings
of Baltimore.
Owings Mills, wherever that is.
Yeah.
So isn't Owings Mills where the Ravens practice facility is?
Yeah, yep. I've never been there, so I don't know that.
I've been there maybe once or twice.
Is it far from there, Valdez? It's kind of remote Caves, but I don't know. Like, is Owings Mills like where the Ravens play? Is it like 10 minutes away maybe? Or
It's not far from Towson.
Is that right?
I mean, I don't know in relation to where one winning drive is, but Owings Mills isn't like a huge
It's not a huge town. City. Yeah, yeah. So are you going? Are you going to go? It's in your backyard? Family's backyard? Your family's backyard?
No, I'm not going there from Virginia.
No.
That would be a hike.
That would be.
No, it would be a hike, but it would be, you know, it'd be a day for sure.
I'll enjoy it on TV.
Yeah. I think I'm going to enjoy it on TV too.
Yeah.
I mean, the last time I went, we had incredible, sweet stuff. But it's still, going to a golf tournament, it is a commitment because it's a lot of walking. I don't care how good your sweet seats are or whatever. It's a lot of walking.
Yeah.
And especially if you want to go out and actually follow the guys around.
Yeah.
You know? It's worth it for Augusta. Are you doing Augusta, by the way? Didn't you win tickets and everything?
I did. Well, not me personally.
But friends, connection.
Wacky Jackie and his father both won tickets for the Wednesday practice round.
Which is the perfect day to go. Did you sell them? Did they sell them? Or are they going to
No.
They're going to go.
Yes.
All right.
Aren't they making it extremely difficult now to sell those tickets?
I don't know.
I mean, it was before, but I heard in the last few years, they're like really cranking it up.
How can they do that? There has to be some sort of ID, the way they issue the ticket, and then you got to match your ID.
I'm not sure, but I did read a story that said that they are amping it up because they're tired of people selling them on eBay and stuff.
Oh, yeah. That's one thing I got to do. Bucket list is get there.
Augusta.
Augusta.
Yeah, you definitely go.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, to play there, that's a one in a million, but you got to at least go there, walk around the grounds just to appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I'm never going to play there, but yeah, I'd like to go there for a practice round. That'd be cool.
It is one of those things where there isn't a blade of... It's not exaggerated when people say it. There's not a blade of grass that's out of place.
Yeah,
not a blade of grass that's not perfectly green, whether they painted it or whether it's just God blessing them.
Mm-hmm. And Jason has alleged no squirrels.
No. I said it's impossible not to have squirrels with so many trees, but apparently no one sees squirrels. So I don't know if they spray around the outside.
They probably kill them. Who knows? They don't care.
But also squirrels are, you know, they want to stay away from people. So when you watch Augusta, it's always during the tournament, and there's a lot of people, so maybe they just stay up in the trees.
The other thing, and again, that you know, if you're a golf fan, you could appreciate it or whatever, but it's amazing. You go there, and there's no sign of it, but there's a complete underground town underneath it where all the 18-wheelers go, where all the workers go back and forth. So it's one of those deals where you have the above ground, which is pristine, unbelievable. And underneath, you have no idea. They literally have a whole town underneath for the workers. And you see none of it.
Right.
You might see somewhere, like guys on a golf cart delivering food and beverage. They actually have 18-wheelers that are doing all that stuff, the merch, everything.
It's like a Hollywood studio, right?
It's
in the middle of a blue-collar...
It's truly,
trifling town.
It's truly
Did you see there was not a mass shooting, but there was a shooting there a couple weeks ago. In Augusta.
No, I didn't see that.
I mean, not at the country club, but in the town.
Yeah, no, I didn't see that.
This article, Eric, says that, you know, one of the big reasons why is because you can't have phones on, right?
Yeah.
On the course. So they've always had the physical ticket policy.
Yeah.
Well, this past year, they were pulling people aside. They were grabbing people and investigating their tickets and making them show, like, questioning them where they got it from. Hmm. On the course, people had already gotten in and they were getting kicked out. Hundreds of people.
Wow.
The great thing, I can't remember when I was
they don't mess around down there.
The practice squad. Honestly, I can't remember. Because I think, certainly on the practice round, I know this. You could bring cameras. So I brought a camera, right? It can't be some big one, but I got like a special, really, really, really nice small camera that you could bring in. They don't care. I can't remember if you're not allowed to bring your phones on a practice round. Certainly during a tournament. You know, they used to do that for regular tournaments. I can remember going years ago when cell phones first were sort of becoming ubiquitous. Mm-hmm. I can remember going to the Kemper and you weren't allowed to have your phone. You certainly weren't allowed to have it out.
Mm-hmm.
But now they've given up. Now you watch any tournament on TV and every time a player's near the fans, everyone's got their phones out taking mm-hmm. video. Mm-hmm. Like you just got to obviously turn
the
ringer
off. Well, at Augusta, do you have to check your phone?
You check it. They have a checking thing.
All right, so you have to leave it
there.
Or
you leave it in your car.
Okay.
I know.
You can't squeeze it in. There's no way to get it in.
I mean, you can. You could.
But if they find you, they find out that you have one, they're going to kick you out.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. Like, honestly, it's
I'd rather just keep it in my pocket and not put it, not bring it out.
I think Feinstein used to say he used to do that.
Yeah, I'd rather do
that. I think John used to, like, sneak it around, just have it on him in case anybody needs to contact
him. I mean, I wouldn't risk getting kicked out. I wouldn't bring it out so people could see it, but I don't want to check it and leave it.
But the practice round where Valdez is going, those are the best days because you can, it's less serious. It's a little less intense.
Yeah, so that was cool. My buddy played with Harris English.
That's me. All the guys are in town. This is the time.
Yeah.
Valdez, remember when they would play at Avenel or whatever, and we'd go to like the Palm and then we'd run into Sergio Garcia? What are the spots where the guys are going to be at that are playing at Caves? Obviously, they were at Camden Yards.
I don't know if they're staying downtown.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But wherever they're staying, it's got to be like some cool steakhouses.
Is there a Ritz right there?
There's got to be something where the guys are.
There is like a Palm like steakhouse inside of, I think it is a Ritz.
Really?
Yeah, that's like on the rooftop. It's like a rooftop.
Well, all the Live players when they came to RTJ to play, they were all. I mean, some of them stayed in the lodges on the course, but a lot of them stayed at the Ritz and Tyson's.
Right.
And that's a hike.
From Tyson's to RTJ.
RTJ this year. Remember they had the Live tournament was there?
Yeah. They did announce, by the way, they're coming back to Trump.
Yeah.
They made that official.
Hey, you just mentioned Feinstein a minute ago.
Yeah.
I'm sure many people are aware of this, but if you are missing the 8 a.m. segment on Fridays, which we all are, you just missed John's voice and stories.
It was just fun.
You really got to get on the audiobooks that he did. It just takes you back to the 8 a.m. segment mm-hmm. of John reading his books to you mm-hmm. with that same cadence and delivery. It's mm-hmm. so like heartwarming. AWOD put me onto it because he had been listening to Season mm-hmm. on the Brink and a couple other ones.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great way to kind of reconnect with John's legacy, I think.
I think that's a great idea. And I have to tell you, of all the people that we've had on the show, people pass. That John Feinstein death has affected me more than I think more than any other. I think about John quite often for someone that I had an antagonistic relationship with. I really did. But I also respected the hell out of him. And, had nice interactions with him. And we tried to get through our differences or whatever. But I just respected and watched him since I was a kid. But his death, the way it has affected me, like, most people, if they're casual, if we have some MLB writer that dies, you feel bad for him for a couple days. Never think about him again. John pops in my mind occasionally, somewhat frequently.
Once a week?
I mean, somewhat frequently. I don't want to put a number on it.
Right.
But a shocking number of times. Like, that dude affected me. Like, I feel like I lost a friend. And even though we had an antagonistic relationship. It's not like I went to lunch with the guy, but we had him on every Friday. He was someone that we all grew up with.
You pretty much didn't agree on anything.
And no, we agreed on some sports takes. We did agree on
some sports takes.
Some. And we fought through it.
I can't tell you how many
and
people.
And I respected him.
I talked to just buddies of mine who would love to listen to Feinstein.
Oh, I know.
And they just say, man, I miss him.
And it really hit me the other day because I watched this stupid Billy Joel doc. Which, by the way, I love Billy Joel. I do love. Who doesn't love Billy Joel? Like, if you don't like Billy Joel, you're not a nice person. The Billy Joel doc's way too long. It's like a Skins preseason game. It goes on forever. But you watch that Billy Joel documentary, you can't do it without just thinking about Feinstein for 3 hours.
Right.
It's impossible not to.
Anytime I hear a Billy Joel song, I definitely think about him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think even the people who would tell us that they hated Feinstein segment,
they secretly enjoyed listening.
Of course, yes.
Yeah. That's, it's kind of like how I am with John. But I did respect him. We did have back and forth off off the air, and we tried to find a common ground. And when I, you know.
There was just a life comfort for us because it was every week for almost 15 years or whatever.
He was in some ways, and I'm saying this probably too generously, but in some ways it was kind of like a father figure to us because he's somebody we grew up listening to. Their sports takes, you know, that kind of stuff.
Well, first ever show, the Sports Junkies cable access TV show, really mimicked the sports reporters.
That was
our
idea.
He was part of it.
Yeah, that was our idea. But I know personally, I've just been stunned at how many times I think about John since he passed.
I got into it with a few times too, where he, after the show, later in the day, he would email me.
Yeah.
I would never reach out to him. He would email me.
Yeah.
And then I would respond.
Yeah.
Because if I was pissed at him, I'm not reaching out to him.
Right.
But
he would
reach out to me and say, hey, this is why I said this. This is why I understand why you believe this. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
But it was just a crazy relationship.
Believe it or not, despite his kind of cantankerous exterior, he was pretty generous. Like when I was writing 100%. Still Barking, he advised me on 100%. The way to go in terms of printing the book and whether I should use a literary agent or self-publish.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote a really nice
testimonial
about the show, which was really nice.
He always meant well, I think, deep down. I would see him occasionally, like we all would in certain, and he would ask you, how's the family? He didn't know my family, but he would ask, like he always made a point, how's the family? Everybody okay? You know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it's bizarre. I don't know how we came up talking about John.
Somehow from Harry English to John Feinstein.
It's only Wednesday.
All right, coming up next.
But you should listen every Friday. Valdez has done a great job of that. We play tribute to John by playing a Billy Joel song at 8 o'clock.
Coming up next, we'll open up the Junkies sports page. Don't go anywhere.
All right, hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get into the Junkies sports page, Bish.
All right, baseball last night, the Nats, they lose again. They lose to the Royals. Man, Mitchell Parker, he got his 13th loss last night. Just kind of looking at his numbers over the last few starts. Just been a rough year, you know, for most of the guys, certainly as a team for the Nats. But Mitchell Parker in his last three starts, gave up 5 runs last night in a 5 1/3. His last three starts, he's given up 17 runs in 14 innings. So that's an ERA near 11. In his last 7 starts since July 5th, he's given up 32 runs in 36 innings, almost 37 innings. And that ERA is probably roughly around 8. And he was pitching decent, you know, before that. I mean, I think his ERA was in the mid-4s at one point. In April, he was really good. But, man, he's really struggled. James Wood kind of broke his – well, he certainly has broken out of that bad slump. He's got 9 hits in his last 5 games, had a couple hits last night. But the Mitchell Parker numbers are kind of alarming. I'll tell you what, man, what the Milwaukee Brewers are doing is scary. They hammered Paul Skenes last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Paul Skenes gave up a first-inning home run to Sal Frelick. I believe that was the first one he's given up in 24 starts. It's a long-ass streak.
Aren't the Brewers absolutely rolling right now?
Yeah, they've won 19 of 23 games since the All-Star break. All right? So they're 19-4 since they came back. They ended the first half on a 7-game winning streak. So that's 26-4 in their last 30. Absolutely stupid numbers.
Mm-hmm.
They beat the Pirates 14-0 last night. And, you know, at one point, you know, I'd say maybe sometime in June, you know, the Cubs had the lead in the Central, pretty decent lead, I think. The Brewers have opened up a 7.5 game lead on the Cubs in the Central. I mean, they're running away with that division. Their hitting is unbelievable. Their pitching is unbelievable. Maybe they're peaking too soon. but they are clearly the best team in baseball. It's not even close right now. 7.5 game lead.
So best offensive player still Yelich?
They've got a bunch of guys. I mean, Terang's good. Frelick's good. Contreras is good. Perkins is good. Churio, who's one of their best players, is on the injured list. Rhys Hoskins, one of their best power bats, on the injured list. So a couple of their best bats are out, but they're still just crushing the ball. They're just hot, and they've been hot for 2 months. In terms of, you know, the kind of the races, Toronto's pretty sizable lead over Boston. Boston won big in Houston yesterday, but Toronto's got a 4.5 game lead in the East. Tigers still have a 5.5 game lead over Cleveland. Cleveland right now is a game out of the last wild card spot, chasing down the Yankees. The Yankees did win yesterday. You know, Aaron Judge is having a great year. Hit his 38th. The Mariners have caught the Houston Astros. The Mariners have won 8 straight games. They're playing great. They win 1-0 in Baltimore yesterday. You know, they made a bunch of moves at the trade deadline, and it looks like it's paying off right now. 8 straight wins, 9 of 10. So they currently lead, well, they're tied with Houston in the AL West. Philadelphia, they're going to win the East in the National League. The Mets broke a 7-game losing streak last night by pounding the ball, scored 13 runs. But the Phillies have a 5-game lead. Talked about the Brewers, and the Padres have caught the Dodgers. Padres have won 4 straight, and the Dodgers have lost 3 straight. They lost in extras last night against the Angels. So
I think Ohtani hit his 43rd.
He did. He hit his, was it 42 or 43, whatever it was. He's putting up huge numbers.
Is the Cal Raleigh guy still have a ton?
Yeah.
He's got more than everybody?
He's got 45.
Okay, so they're close.
But Ohtani's got 43.
Man, Raleigh's so got sick. 45. Ohtani, 43. Schwarber's got 42.
Mm-hmm. I love Rizzo. I hated when we let Schwarber go or whatever we did. We moved him, whatever the hell we did. I loved him. And look at what he's done his last,
great bat. God. Great power bat.
Such a good dude, too. Just remember the one time we had him on the show.
During COVID.
He was just great.
Yeah.
He was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was just here for the 2021 season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in 72 games in that season, 72 games, he hit 25 home runs.
Yeah, I mean, just a stud.
But there's just some, there's certainly some races that are pretty much over, but there are some races, including the wild card races, that are still very interesting. There's about 43 games left, 42, 43, maybe 44, depending on the team. So, they're winding down, man. They're winding down, and some of these trade deadline acquisitions are starting to pay off with a lot of these teams. You know, we're going to talk about the inter-squad scrimmage, the burgundy versus white. I guess Hartman was on one team, mm-hmm, and Jaden was on another. I think Hartman's team won 14-0.
That's correct.
Now, I don't know who was on what team.
I think it was almost like
mixed them and matched them.
Yeah,
and,
but I think I heard it was more like a lot of starters.
First team versus second team.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. Well, I talked to somebody yesterday that was not Grant, but I thought somebody was watching the scrimmage yesterday, and they said Marcus Lattimore has had a really good camp.
All right, that's your boy.
They said he's had a really good camp.
All right, that's your boy.
I'm just throwing it out there.
I haven't heard that from my guys that I listen to.
This guy said it.
All right, I believe.
Maybe it's eye of the beholder, but you know what?
I haven't heard negative, but I just haven't heard him hyped up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we haven't heard it a lot. I mean, Kinlaw, we haven't heard much about.
I haven't heard a lot about him either. I keep hearing about Sanistrel. Everyone keeps talking about Sanistrel and Noah I. Those are the guys.
Well, they take on Malik Nabers in week one, and Malik Nabers put up some numbers against Washington
He's going to do great against anybody. It's not really fair.
And I don't know. They had Lattimore initially traveling, even if you remember that Tampa Bay Buccaneers playoff game, and then eventually they just pulled the plug on him traveling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to get to Grant Paulson's take on that.
The observations I heard from afar were, just the defense got the better of it. They got pressure, which is good. Again, it's been a theme, it seems like, from those that are out there every day, that the offense is kind of challenged in terms of stretching the field. And they did put one long drive together, apparently, like a 9-minute drive yesterday, mm-hmm, but it didn't result in points. Yeah. Obviously, they lost 14-0, whatever it's worth. But Yeah, defense is getting the better of the offense. Ben Standing reported yesterday, take it for what it's worth, but it was Jaden's by far his worst day of camp. But he said it's not all in him, you know, protection, right. Breakdowns, receivers. Everything. You know, not maybe having certain times. So a lot of it was just dump off stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think I'm not going to say 17 cures everything, but he makes it better.
Sure.
Makes it a lot more explosive. And I have admittedly taken for granted the idea that we're going to pick up where we left off offensively, adding Tunsil, drafting Connerly and these guys, not really losing any key guys as far as I guess you could say Diami, but I don't really consider Diami a key guy. I've just taken it as a given that we're just going to kind of pick up where we left off offensively, but that certainly may not be the case.
Yeah. Keim has an article on ESPN.com today, and he talks about the sticking points that the two sides are having between Terry McLaurin and the organization, and they have some analytics here from ESPN's research staff where they point out three different receivers around the age of Terry McLaurin and what they did before. And once they hit 31, so he's 29 right now, right? About to turn 30. So Julio Jones, who was, Hall of Fame receiver, unbelievable. After he hit 31, he went from an average of 96.2 yards per game to 39.5. Similarly, DeAndre Hopkins, unbelievable player, right? Went from 77.9 to 50.5. And A.J. Green went from 80.2 to 34.2. So those receivers, probably all Hall of Famers, A.J. Green, Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, all fell off a cliff at 31.
There's no doubt that's the trend. That's the norm. He's got to then, though, pull up the outliers, whoever they are. I don't know. What did Randy Moss do after age 31? Or I don't know. I don't know who.
Well, Davante Adams has put up numbers.
Yeah, so whoever those guys are, pull up those guys. Because there are. Not every single receiver at 31 falls off a cliff. Do the vast majority? I'm sure they do. But he's just got to pull up the outliers and make the argument, I'm this, not that. It's a difficult argument to make. But I think that's what he has to do.
And well, they both need each other.
Yeah. I think that's becoming apparent.
They both need each other.
So maybe I've always kind of thought these last couple of weeks that the team's just not going to budge. But maybe the struggles offensively against the Patriots here in this one, you know, the Patriots, you know, whatever, organized scrimmage, whatever they call those things. And then this one, inner squad that they did yesterday.
Oh, you mean the joint
practice and the inner squad. Maybe that is raising eyebrows, at least where the front office goes, okay, listen, we don't want to pay this much, but we do need Terry in here and bump it up a little bit.
All right, we'll get into a little bit more coming up next as we hit the skins. Of course, our training camp coverage on 106.7 The Fan is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenry'sWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice.
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.